WDJW, KZ4TMA.
W4DJW, I had the volume turned down, so I didn't hear who that was. Go ahead.
Simon, KZ4TMA, how you doing?
Is that Simon?
But you're making me wonder if I'm hitting the repeater well.
No, you're hitting the repeater just fine. I did not voluntarily go to Windows 11. I was taken to Windows 11, and now I'm having to adjust how my volume sliders work and where they are and find them. And sometimes I get the wrong one, and you were really, really low because it was set. The volume on a scale from 0 to 100 was set at 2, so now you sound fine.
Okay. No, I'm glad to hear I'm hitting it all right. Well, actually, now I'm curious. So if you're playing with your volume on Windows 11, what are you running, like some kind of desktop version of Echo Link? Tell me more.
So my radio that I'm talking to you on is, I'm not on Echo Link, but I'm on the radio that supports Echo Link because here's the problem. If you run an Echo Link node that connects to a repeater, then when you're talking, think about how that's working. When you're talking, if I had a separate radio that wasn't the Echo Link radio, if I had a separate one and it was transmitting, then it's going to be outputting a signal on the output frequency, which is the input to the repeater, 146.010, and this antenna is going to be co-located with the Echo Link's antenna that is hearing that signal that's coming down from the mountain. So you're transmitting, let's say, 50 watts. About 10 feet from an antenna that's listening to an antenna that is 30 miles away, right? Listening to a repeater that is 30 miles away. That doesn't work. So if you're going to host Echo Link, you need to be able to talk through the antenna or the radio that is connected to Echo Link so that you can split your audio. Half of it goes down the internet, the other half of it goes up to the mountain. Does that make sense?
Load 95% of that. And I don't need you to explain it again because I'm going to enjoy thinking about the other 5% when we're done. But I think the most helpful explanation was you reminded me that you host Echo Link, which makes sense because every time I'm on Echo Link, I see your call. But it took me a minute to remember that, of course, there would be some different kind of setup there. But no, I get it. I get it. That's really helpful. Thanks. All right. Well, best wishes with Windows 11. I'm a Mac user and haven't been on Windows for a long time, so I don't know. But, you know, Mac, they have their own issues, I guess.
Yeah, they're all going to have issues, right? Even Linux has issues from time to time. But when you're born in that briar patch, it sure does make their issues a lot more comfortable to deal with than Windows issues. I didn't want to go. I hesitated and hesitated and stopped and waited. And finally, one morning, I woke up and it was rebooted. I never shut any computers off. They all run 24/7. And one morning when I got up, it was rebooted, and I said, uh-oh. But it's not bad. I mean, I'm getting used to it. It's just taking, you know, it just takes more effort. I use a computer for what I want it for. I don't use a computer for what Windows wants from me. I use it as a tool for me, not me as a tool for it.
That is a philosophy of technology that I think we should all be more careful to implement, remembering that these are tools for us and that we are not slaves to them. I do have another question for you that we can get to in a minute, but now I'm just curious. When you say you run them 24/7, is there some, you know, inside knowledge there, some expertise that I should know about? Should I not be shutting down my computer too often? Or, I don't know, tell me more. I'm just curious.
It depends on how much you use it. If you use it every single day, think about that thermal expansion when you turn it on, and then it contracts when you turn it off, and then it expands when you turn it on, and you do that 365 days times two, turn it on and turn it off, or if you turn it on in the morning, turn it off, and then turn it on in the afternoon, turn it off, then that's times 400, you know, times 365 times four thermal expansion, you're going to wear it out, you know, just stretching and shrinking the parts on the inside of the motherboard. Whereas if you leave it on all the time, it'll last for 10 years, right, versus 2 years, right, turning it on and off all the time. So I never turn them off.
Thanks. No, I hadn't really thought about that before, so that's helpful. I usually don't shut mine down anyway. I mean, we let it sleep, or, you know, these Macs will kind of display sleep, whatever, smart sleep. But anyway, it's never really shut down except a couple times a year. All right. Well, hey, tell me this. I threw your call out just because, I was wondering if you had a second. I'm ready to go ahead and build my first 10-meter antenna. I don't even have a 10-meter transceiver yet, but I did just talk to Gary, and I asked him to put me down on the, or maybe you heard that earlier. I was talking to him on here. But tell me, where do you recommend going for that kind of, for the basic equipment for that, you know, just for the wire and all the different parts, or maybe even just a simple 10-meter antenna kit? You know, I'm sure there are sites that'll sell me a decent kit. But you got any recommendation on vendors that I should trust in terms of the quality of their stuff or something? Yeah, I know it's real basic, but still thought I'd get your recommendation.
Well, I always get my wire from the wire man. That's just because that's a habit. I mean, when the first time I ever built an antenna, I got the wire from Lowe's, and it worked. But when I took it down, it was about 10 feet longer than it was than when I put it up, because it stretched. The wire man has copper-clad steel, and it doesn't stretch. It stays the same length all the time. Plus, it's for the smaller gauge, it's a lot stronger, so which means it's not heavy. Like if you get 12-gauge wire from Lowe's, it's going to be super heavy and it's going to stretch like crazy, right? You strip the copper out of some 12-gauge wire from Lowe's. That's like the worst thing you can do, which is what I did when I was a brand new ham, because that's all I knew. I didn't know any better. And then I found out there was a wire man who had this stuff called copper clad steel, which doesn't stretch. And I put some up for Mike. He made a W5MSC Mike. He made a horizontal loop that was enormous. And the only way to pull it through the trees was put all of your weight on it as you pulled it through the trees. It was really big. So we had a lot of trees to pull it through to go around the whole perimeter of the yard. And when I say yard, I mean a yard that's probably as big as a baseball diamond, right? The front part is huge. And it works really good, and it didn't break. He actually tied it to a truck to pull it out, and it felt like it's going to pull branches out of the trees when he was pulling out. And this is 14-gauge wire. Anyway, that's I get that stuff from the wire man. It's not cheap, but it has a lot of good, you know, no stretch and really strong. That's what you're really looking for is strong stuff that's lightweight that doesn't stretch. And that's copper clad steel that you can get from the wire man.
Really helpful. And is that a website? I mean, we're talking thewireman.com. Is this something I can just Google?
That is it. That's exactly what you Google, is thewireman.com, and it'll take you straight to his site. It's changed several times. I haven't been to it in a while, because usually when I buy it, I get enough to last me for a long time. And I got like a bunch of antennas. I keep finding antennas I got stuffed in cubby holes just in case, you know. Usually when I buy one mystery antenna, I'll go buy two of them. I'll stuff one in a cubby hole somewhere, and I'll put the other one in the sky. That's why, just in case it breaks, I've got a backup. I don't have to wait to order another one.
Oh, good. All right. Well, I'll check there. And is that the same place where you would get any other hardware? I mean, I'm forgetting the name of it right now, but, you know, the part that'll accept a coax and then it splits, you know, the outer and inner conductors to the left and right so that you can attach your two ends of a horizontal dipole, you know, just all the other pieces that I'm going to be getting. Would you get them all from the same spot, or is that site just wire?
No, he has connectors, too, or at least he did. I heard he cut back a lot. He cut back after COVID, I think. But when I was there, which was before COVID, I got enough to do me for a while. And you can find him at Hamfest. He also goes to most of the Hamfest, him or his wife, one. And they usually have everything to do with connecting your coax, right? The barrel connectors, the MNA or MN, MNO and the PL259, that kind of the other end of the PL259, he usually has all of that stuff. The through wall connectors, I think he even has ground straps and stuff like that.
I'm excited to check it out. Yeah, but I think, you know, I probably told you we were moving earlier this year, and I've only ever had this mobile rig, but now we're settled. And so, yeah, I'd like to just go ahead and play around on 10 meters. I don't think, well, I'm going to have a chat with my wife. I'm not so sure if this is going to go outside or not. It could end up in the attic, but we have a huge, long attic. I could easily set something up in there, so I'll see what my options are. But that's good to know. And, hey, I'm probably breaking up. I'm in the shadow of Paris Mountain now, so sorry if the signal's getting worse.
I noticed it a little bit, but it's not too bad yet. But it will probably get worse. But a double bazooka, Google double bazooka, a 10-meter double bazooka will fit in the attic really easy. I've got a 10-meter, a 15-meter, 12 meter, 20 meter, 30 meter, all of those double. My attic is full of double bazookas. So if you want to put one in the attic, until you get up to about 40 meters or something like that, double bazookas fit in small places.
That's something. I mean, something with my, like, this is the first time I've made anything other than a mobile rig. Is it the kind of thing I can easily build, or is it more like I'm going to end up, you know, paying $800 for something to be built?
M-U-K.
Recognizing Wayne, I built all of mine, but you can buy them. I went down to below Simpsonville to Scott's house, and he had one that he bought, I think, from DX Engineering or something like that. And it worked really, really good, and it's very strong. They can be weak if you don't build them just right and out of the right material. So you might just want to go look at double bazookas on DX Engineering and see what they got. I know his is really strong and works really good for him. Go ahead, Wayne.
For W4DJW and the group KG4MK. Yeah, I was just going to say real quick, I got a 40-meter double bazooka that I got MaxCon antennas to make me, and I'm very proud of the way that thing performs. You could contact MaxCon antennas and ask them if they could build you a 10 meter bazooka, and if you got an analyzer, just take an analyzer and kind of change the length of the ends and get it where you need it on the band and stick it in the attic, and it will work really, really good. You can also get a lot of good performance out of it. I got the one that I got, and I just can't say enough about it. It works exceptionally well.
Thank you much. I'm really in the shadow of Paris Mountain now, so I will have to say 73s. Dave, thanks for the answers and conversation. I heard everything you said, just couldn't quite get your call. Thank you both. I'll say 73s. KZ from TMA Clear.
All right, Simon, and you are breaking up quite a bit now, so that's good timing. But I appreciate you jumping in there, Wayne. I didn't know where to buy them. I've never bought one. I've only built them, but I know they have weak points unless you get it from a reputable builder. But the one that I looked at that I went down to Simpsonville to hang that Scott bought, I forget where he bought it. It might have been DX Engineering. It might have been somewhere else, but it was high quality. But MaxCon, I'll have to remember that next time. Next time I need a double bazooka.
QRZ. Next time you're on QRZ, look up my call sign, KG4MUK, and right down there at the bottom of my page is a link to MaxCon antennas. And just contact them, tell them I sent you. And I've had him build me every kind of antenna known to man, and the quality, the power handling, and the build quality is unbelievable. When that tornado came through, I had a few small oak trees fall over on my MaxCon, and it didn't even faze it because it's made out of garroting wire, and it's extremely strong. But anyway, I'll let you get back at it. I'm just mobile headed towards Greenville, KG4MUK.
All right, Wayne, be careful out there on the mobile. I'm just playing on PSK, having a good time. I've been off of it for a while, and that winter field day event got me to break out my rig and my SDR rig, the Hermes, and it's working really good. And I'll do a few chores in the house, and then I'll stop and make some contacts. Then I got to do some more chores, and then I'll stop and make some more contacts. It's hard to pull away from.
It's a feeling. I originally was going to just do a YouTube live earlier and just, you know, kind of talk a little bit. Then I got to hearing a guy on the radio, and I thought, well, I'll do my YouTube live and just kind of listen to the guy a little bit and carry on. And I ended up making a, I don't know, 20-minute, 30-minute QSO with just that one guy. And it turned out he was in a really unique area at a unique place that I made a contact with him in Montana. And so I went ahead and made it my regular video on my live on YouTube, and it turned out actually really good.
Well, I'm just now looking at your QRZ page. Where is that lake you got a picture of down there at the bottom left corner? Where is that lake?
That lake, that's the upper end of Kiwi, going towards Hartwell, going down like you're going to go towards away from the dam.
Do you make that with your feet on the ground, or is that made from some aircraft?
when I was flying. That's been a few years back, though.
Okay, it looked like it was high up, unless you were, you know, like on a curvy road on the mountainside. It looked like it was elevated.
About 560, 600 feet, something like that.
That's some pretty water up there. It's cold, too, right?
I guarantee you it is.
All right, well, I'm going to go back over here to PSK while there's people out. There's people out right now. When it gets close to gray line, you got to drop down a band. Everybody leaves 20 meters when you're getting close to gray line. So I'm going to hop back over there.
Thank you a little bit. Have a good day. Talk to you later. KG4NK.
Be careful on the road. W4DJW clear.